I'm happy to have Rob Kittle with us. Rob has been the COO of West Ames since 2013. He had joined the Canadian investment firm Goodwood in 2002 and was a partner and portfolio manager there. Rob played a central role in the development and growth of West Ames beginning in early 2009 while still at Goodwood. Rob has served on several corporate boards. Most notably, he currently serves on the board of Constellation Software. He's an accountant by training and is a CFA charter holder. Rob, thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate the time.
And to begin, I think the first question, I think it'd be interesting for everyone to hear about your personal background and your history with West Ames.
Sure. As you indicated in the introduction, I'm a chartered accountant or chartered professional accountant by training. I spent the first part of my career with my largest client, which was a real estate firm called Cadillac Fairview. Where I was in the investment area, buying and selling shopping centers and office buildings. From there, I transitioned into the investment business and spent 10 years from 2002 to 2012 with Goodwood. Goodwood is a equity long short, value oriented, concentrated position, money management firm. We built the firm with myself, with three other partners, Peter Pacetti, who founded the firm, Cam McDonald, who is my current partner and the CEO of West Ames, and another partner, Kirk Cumming. We built the firm from sort of 2000, I guess. Peter started the firm in 1996, Cam joined in 2000, and I joined in 2002. And in 2008, when the world was a different place, we were looking at different investment opportunities at the firm, and we started looking at stocks that were trading below their cash. So going right back to the net-net Ben Graham philosophy and looking at a bunch of opportunities that way. As you know, typically these opportunities don't present themselves very often. There was a host of those in 2008. We were able to acquire a number of companies that were in that position. One of those companies was West Ames. At the time, it was approximately a $20 million Canadian market cap business. It had about $40 million Canadian of cash plus some other assets as well. We were able to acquire in the market approximately 20% of the company. That's really how we ended up getting involved at West through Goodwood in West Ames, sort of from there started our journey with West Ames moving forward.
Sure. And so in 2008, it sounds like you had several of these companies, the net-nets they'd owned, were looking at seriously. Why West Ames? Why did you choose that one? And why go forward with the idea of a permanent capital vehicle over time with it?
Sure. So we ended up looking at the whole environment in both the United States and Canada and looking at where the net nets were. And there was, you know, by our screen, over 2,000 companies trading below their cash at the time. But a lot of those companies had either significant liabilities associated with them that were off balance sheet. They were burning a lot of cash flow. So we narrowed that down to a very small number of very good businesses that didn't have those types of issues. And we ended up buying probably a half dozen to a dozen of those names, all of which ended up being reasonably successful investments. And one of those was West Ames, and it was quite near to us in Toronto. It was head officed in Calgary, but the management team had been out of Toronto. And we knew sort of tangentially the chairman of West Ames, Mr. Ian Delaney. So we visited with Ian and wanted to understand after we had bought the position what the plan was to move forward. And given the number of opportunities that were available in the market at the time, and given the fact that West Ames at the time was in a transition phase and it had over $100 million of tax losses, and it was a permanent capital vehicle, as you point out, there was a desire on behalf of the board of West Ames to try to move forward and do something with it. And so, to make a long story very short, in early 2009. The board made Goodwood senior management of the company through a management services agreement, with the intention of us going out and finding unique and desirable investment opportunities for West Ham to pursue.
Sure. Okay. And clearly the, you know, Goodwood is a driver. You have a long history there, and you were part of the team that is a catalyst, I guess, for the culture, not only for West Ham, the culture for Goodwood from the early beginning. And a lot of that, it seems, to have carried over to West Ham as well. So can you talk about kind of that, the culture, not just with West Ham in the last, you know, years that you've been there, but how that culture and experience and kind of capital allocation approach, going back to when you first joined Goodwood, if you could kind of talk about that and talk about you know, kind of your experiences with that culture and the observations for like the way you approach risk management, for example.
Sure. Yeah, Goodwood was a very successful firm, but early in its development when I joined in 2002, and we were able to grow the assets under management through the 2002 to 2008 period significantly, pursuing a value-oriented approach, long-term orientation, active approach, where we were quite active with the companies that we selected to invest in. And we took relatively concentrated positions in both Canada and the United States. And so we spent a lot of time looking at the different businesses that we were investing in. And you know, we managed risk management through managing permanent loss of capital, you know, with volatility being a much more secondary measure of risk. With respect to capital allocation, we really were looking for the best ideas we could find. And if we found two or three or four really good ideas in any one year, that was a pretty successful year. And so that's how we constructed the portfolio at Goodwood. And really, if you think about the way that it's gone through to West Ham with the involvement of Cam and I, sort of, and Peter was involved in West Ham as a board member until a couple of years ago as well. You know, we brought that philosophy to West Ham. If you look at the investments that we've made, really three principal investments, and we'll talk about them, I'm sure. You know, Jevco Insurance in 2010, Houston International Insurance Group in 2014, and the establishment of the Arena Group in 2015. All of those are you know, what I would consider value-oriented investments with unique situations where we're able to partner with management teams to try to, you know, pursue a strategy that could create value for West Ham shareholders. Sure. You know, we did a number of active type situations when we were at Goodwood, pursuing the same philosophy with management teams and with boards to try to unlock value.
Sure. So let's talk about those three, I guess, major holdings of West Ham. The first one, Jevco, which, you know, from an outsider's perspective, from a passive shareholder's perspective, set the tone of what West Ham was going to be. Jevco acquisition was made from Kingsway, and then was sold, I guess, a few years later, a year and a half later or so, at a tremendous profit. But the interesting part there is what you did by returning capital to shareholders at that time. So could you kind of talk through the Jevco deal and the thought process with not only selling it, but also returning capital to investors after that sale?
Sure. So, as I mentioned earlier, we were sort of appointed as senior management of the company, which was really a shell business at the time in 2009. We proceeded to sell off some of the remaining assets of West Ham, and we're left in late 2009 with effectively a pool of capital, you know, let's call it $50 or $55 million Canadian. And we were throughout 2009 looking for investment opportunities where we could deploy that capital. In late 2009, we were introduced to Jevco Insurance, which was the Canadian operation of Kingsway Financial. Kingsway was a U.S. and Canadian business, and it was having some difficulties in its U.S. business. Its Canadian business had difficulties, but had been cleaned up, we felt, quite a bit. We felt it had a good management team to lead it forward. And Kingsway had a need to sell the business to solve or address some of the concerns it had with its U.S. operations. And so we moved very quickly and were able to acquire the Jevco insurance business at what we believe was an attractive price, you know, approximately 95.95 times tangible book value. And we announced that transaction in January 2010. For a total purchase price of about $260 million Canadian, and we financed the transaction by raising capital from backstop by Alberta Investment Management, and then from public market shareholders as well. So we did a total capital raise of about $275 million at the time, and closed the acquisition of Jevco in March of 2010. Through the next period between then and in early 2012, we were pursuing a number of opportunities in the property and casualty insurance space with the help and backing of AIMCo. We were quite close to a transaction in early 2012 when the largest property and casualty insurance company in Canada, Intact Financial, approached the board of Westaim to with an interest in acquiring our Jevco business. It was not something that it was unsolicited. It was not something we were looking to do, but the price was quite attractive for us and I think for Intact as well, given their strategy. And so we ended up signing a deal to sell the Jevco business for $530 million to Intact, and that transaction closed in September of 2012. So we were sitting on a cash pool at the time of over $550 million in a shell. And you know, the questions we had was what are we going to do with this capital? We redeploy it into another acquisition. There was a feeling amongst board members at Westaim and management that we would be under a significant amount of pressure to deploy that capital. We had quite a large success for our shareholders, and we felt that if we were to give that money back to our shareholders, that if we found something else to do, that we were willing to put our own money in, that the shareholders that had been with us through the Jevco experience would support us. Sure. And so in early 13, I think I can't remember exactly when, it might have been late 2012, we did a $520 million distribution back to our shareholders, and really shrank Westaim right back to where it was prior to the acquisition of Jevco in 2010. We were able to do that tax efficiently, which was very important, and so that it would have was effectively treated as capital, and therefore tax efficient for our shareholders as well.
Right. And then after that came the relationship with Stephen Way and Houston International Insurance, HIG. How did that come about? And I guess what's your view, kind of through the years with HIG and the relationship there?
Sure. So moving through 2013, we started looking for other opportunities to do with the $35 or $50 million of capital we had left at Westaim, through a mutual acquaintance that we'd obviously made a number of relationships in the property and casualty insurance space, introduced us to Stephen Way in the fall of 2013. Stephen had obviously a very successful and noted career with Houston Casualty Corporation, which is a business he started back in 1974. This was his second business, Houston International Insurance Group. And he was, at the time we met with him, he was looking for capital for two things. One was to acquire the interest of one of his large shareholders who was looking for liquidity in the business. And at the same time, it had been growing quite dramatically over the last couple of years and was looking for capital to support the growth of the business moving forward. We had a familiarity with the property and casualty insurance space. We obviously had some success there, and we felt that the specialty P&C business was an attractive area of the P&C insurance space, and that Stephen was reasonably well positioned with HIG to to take the business that he had at the time and continue to build a specialty platform that would attract significant value to West Ham over time. And so through a reasonably complex transaction, given that we didn't have the money, we were able to raise the capital publicly from our shareholders in early 2014 and acquire the interest from the existing shareholder, and we injected capital into HIG, which Houston National Insurance Group, we call it HIG. And we attracted a couple of partners, industry partners, Catlin Insurance Group and Everest Re at the time, that put capital into a partnership that West Ham controls that invested in HIG. And so that we closed that transaction in July of 2014. And currently today, the partnership owns approximately 75% of HIG. And West Ham's interest is approximately 58.5% of the partnership. So our look-through interest at the West Ham level is approximately 44%. And it's a business we control through the partnership that owns 75%.
Sure. And then kind of moving through the calendar, the arena is deal situation is a little bit different because you basically started or helped to start it with Dan Zwirn. And obviously there's a lot of focus and optimism with Arena at this time as well. If you could kind of talk through that, how did you get to know Dan Zwirn and how did that transaction come together?
Sure. After the transaction closed with HIG, Cam and I were looking at the investment portfolio of HIG, which was about $650 million at the time, looking at how do we try to increase the returns that we could generate from that investment portfolio. It had been kept quite short and high quality. And as you well know, at the time, interest rates being where they were, there was not a lot of return being generated. And so we were looking for opportunities where we could increase the yield and return of the portfolio without taking a substantial amount of duration or credit risk in addition to what was being taken at the time. And so we were looking at a number of different asset classes, and one of the asset classes was alternative credit and private credit. And through another mutual acquaintance, we were introduced to Dan Zwirn. This would have been in the very late 2014, early 2015. Dan comes with a very strong pedigree in this space, having done it for a number of years, very successfully in the past at Michael Dell's family office, as well as Highbridge, and then his own firm, DB Zwirn. The more we got to know Dan, the more we thought that there was an opportunity here, certainly for us in the insurance space, that we could manage some capital in that way within the HIG portfolio. And that led to a broader discussion about a broader partnership, about building a business in this space. And that's what transpired in early 2015 and resulted in, sort of our announcement in mid-15 that, we had come to an agreement with Dan that we would raise the capital to help support the launching of Arena Group, which is an asset manager and basically a specialty finance company beside it, which is our capital, and really put Dan back in business so that we could continue to do what he had done previously very successfully, and HIG would be able to benefit from that and generate higher yields. And frankly, that's exactly what's played out since.
Sure. So there's a lot more of, I guess it's much more complementary than might meet the eye, from an outside shareholder. So it's very interesting relationship there. And both with Way and Zwirn, there had been, I guess, some things that had happened in the past, and in a lot of ways, it appears that, they've kind of rehabilitated their reputations in some way with West Ham. How is your view on that? Is that kind of an accurate assessment from an outsider? And how did you get comfortable? How did West Ham get comfortable with kind of both of their previous situations?
Well, I think you know, I mean, I think there's always circumstances that that you have to sort of look at, and you have to understand exactly what happened and what the circumstances were surrounding things before making judgment. And you know, in both cases, both Stephen's case as well as with Dan's case, we spent a lot of time looking at both situations, and in both situations came away from that the work we did speaking with, you know, a number of parties and doing all the diligence that you would expect, feeling very comfortable with the conclusion that these are partners that we wanted to be in business with, and that we felt had the opportunity to build substantial businesses based off their track record of success, and that that Westaim would be a good partner for them. Obviously, some of those things obviously gave Westaim the opportunity in the first place as well. And it's played out that way. You know, with respect to Arena, you know, I think the business has performed very well to date. You know, the number of opportunities from an investment perspective and a deployment perspective are excellent. They've built a great team and a great sort of infrastructure to help to scale the business. And you know, we're in process of raising third party capital to support the asset management piece of the business. And you know, as the business, you know, comes up on $1 billion of assets under management, you know, it, as you know, the investment management business is sort of, you know, a very good business from an operating leverage perspective. You know, we believe we're getting closer and closer to an inflection point in that business that gives us some optimism that you know, you can never know when this stuff's going to happen. But gives us some optimism that this is going to be, you know, move in that direction as we go into 2019. I think we spent a lot of time, Steve, with the diligence, and now that we've spent a lot of time with both individuals and situations intimately over the last number of years, we, you know, we certainly don't look back and think we made the wrong decision. It's quite the opposite.
Sure, and this is a great example, I guess, of the value investing, arbitraging perception from reality. You know, to have the opportunity to work with both of them at the time that you did was because, in many respects, of a misperception, perhaps by others, and that's ultimately what led to the ability to have that opportunity there. So we're excited, and certainly especially with Dan and what he's done the last few years.
I think if you look at the situation, you know, if for those that spend the time to understand the situation and how things happen and played out, I think they come to the exact same conclusion. And that's our experience with certainly with Dan's business, and those that spend the time, you know, have no problem coming to the conclusion that we did.
Yeah. So from there, there was an interesting transaction in 2017 with Fairfax Financial. And in a lot of ways, that transaction actually introduced Westaim to a whole new host of investors, American investors, for example, who had been following Fairfax. So it'd be interesting to hear about that relationship and how it came about, and what the goals are really for each party.
Sure. You know, I think I've known Fairfax obviously for my whole career, being a Canadian. You know, the Prem Watsa and his team, you know, Paul Rivette and Wade Burton and Lawrence Chin and others, and some of the more legendary guys, Brian Bradstreet and others. They've obviously built a very successful business in the value philosophy. So it's something that we were obviously aware of Fairfax and understood sort of how they think and their philosophy, and knew a number of parties that had done business with them previous to. And I'd got to know the business and the management team over the last number of years. And I think, you know, we're not looking for capital necessarily, but we felt that if there was an opportunity to accelerate Westaim's business plan, and it checked a number of boxes, that it would be something we would consider. And when Fairfax, you know, really approached us in early 2017 about you know, sort of a structure like we ended up doing, We felt that, you know, their participation with West AIM over the long term checked a lot of boxes, from, you know, from their investment in Arena, which I think helps, you know, and will continue to help their portfolio from a yield perspective. They're obviously, they're a very well-regarded investor in the insurance space, and helps, it helps West Arena from that perspective. And for West AIM, we view them as a partner of ours that you know, shares the same philosophies and beliefs, and will provide, you know, us with you know, the opportunity to do other things going forward, as, you know, as the opportunities present themselves. We, you know, they've been very good people to work with, and we would continue to think that they'll be good people to work with going forward. So, you know, I think we felt that they would help us accelerate our business plan, and so we entered this partnership and feel quite good about it.
Hey. And the last question I have here, really, with Manual of Ideas, with this presentation, Manual of Ideas really has a great group of smart investors who I think would be interested in West AIM, and certainly learning more about West AIM, you know, especially attractive at this price, with the recent decline. You know, is there anything else that you would like to share with them that might help their understanding as a newcomer, an investor who might first be looking at West AIM right now?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that, you know, I think our story, you know, can be a little complex given how the transactions have developed. And, you know, these are not you know, the acquisitions we've done and the partnerships we've done, you know, they're not off the shelf when it comes to their development. And that's kind of typical of how we've done things since the beginning. But, you know, fundamentally, both businesses that we have never been in a better position than they are today. You know, obviously in the insurance business, you know, the P&C business is far from being what I would consider in a hard market, but it's in a better market than it's been in some time. With respect to Arena, you know, I think the folks that really understand and get what we're doing at Arena understand that we're you know, there's the label of their private credit, which covers a whole swath of different direct lending and leverage loans and other things like that type strategies. But it, you know, the underlying strategy that Dan and the team at Arena are deploying, you know, using a significant amount of diversification by industry, product, and geography, you know, the credit statistics that they're able to generate through their origination pipeline, you know, the use of joint venture servicing partners to leverage and allow us to get variable cost access to sourcing, which allows us to get, you know, that origination capacity rather than doing syndication. All of these things make that strategy very, very compelling. And so I think that, you know, learning about those types of things, I think, is very important to understand how we think about the business of Arena long term, and what that business could end up being for Arena as well as for West AIM shareholders. So, you know, we feel pretty good about the position we have in both areas. And, you know, we plan to think over the long term. You know, at West AIM, we don't think in quarters. We think longer term, and we, you know, with the intention of building value over the long term. With Arena, it's been a build from the beginning, and so, you know, we're starting to see, you know, book value growth start to develop within West AIM at a higher rate, because we're through that early stage growing pains, if you want to call it that, of building out a new business. But we did it with not a dollar of goodwill on the books, which for an asset management business is very attractive. And so, you know, we feel pretty good about where we're going forward.
Well, great. Well, thank you very much, Rob. I appreciate the time and the willingness to share your perspective with us.
Not a problem, Steve. Thanks very much for the opportunity.